for a living. Every workout I do causes microscopic damage to my muscle fibers that typically goes away after a period of recovery. At 40, my goal is to reduce inflammation in my body any way I can through pliability, and with the help of other amplifiers I'll be talking about later in this book. Stacking inflammation in the form of poor nutrition, alcohol, etc., is in my mind not sustainable if your goal is to maximize your potential. Alex and I believe pliability can meaningfully help cure a lot of common sports injuries, including tennis elbow, plantar fasciitis, lower back pain, and many others, including breaking down scar tissue or preventing it from building up in the first place, and minimizing inflammation from surgeries. Tennis elbow. Tennis elbow occurs when a player strains the tendon that connects the forearm to the elbow joint. Why has the tendon been strained generally? Because an accumulation of excess tension has been placed on it. Therefore, the tendon becomes overloaded over a period of time. The solution is pliability, and the lengthening and softening of all the muscle groups in the arm to create balance. Once the muscles are balanced, as well as soft, long, and primed through the daily functional movements the brain asks the elbow to perform, the tension goes away. Plantar fasciitis. Plantar fasciitis is the inflammation of the ligament band connecting the heel bone to the toes, which causes a lot of pain and discomfort. It can result from simply wearing shoes with bad heels. Doctors often prescribe wearing a boot to stretch out the fascia. At TB12, the problem can usually be solved by the lengthening and softening of the plantar fascia through pliability sessions. We have seen this injury very often and have been successful in treating it and getting our clients back to full strength after only a few sessions. Then there's lower back pain. Doctors and therapists usually prescribe rest, ice, and back strengthening exercises. But strengthening tight muscles that cause compression and that result in lower back pain is not the solution. What they rarely do is target the psoas muscles or hip flexors that correlate to lumbar compression. Again, by lengthening and softening the psoas muscles and the muscles of the back, pliability will usually get rid of back pain entirely. In all three of these examples, the answer to relieving pain is through pliability. Long, soft, primed muscles will not cause elbow pain, foot pain, or back pain. Once the muscles are pliable and balance is restored in those muscle groups, that's when you strengthen them. Q&A. Does pliability hurt? Some people who try pliability for the first time say that they experience a degree of discomfort during and after their first few sessions. A good analogy is weightlifting. If you've never lifted weights after the first weight training sessions, you'll probably be sore. But over time, that soreness goes away. Weightlifting, I know, is a bad example, but it's a good analogy that most people can relate to. In general, whether or not you feel discomfort after pliability depends on how healthy your muscles are, or how dense they are. If they're dry and dehydrated, pliability may take some getting used to, since without adequate hydration, or optimal muscle pump function, the muscles of the body are tight, dense, and stiff. That means it's harder to lengthen and soften them. But the more you lengthen and soften your muscles through pliability, the easier it gets. You can't lengthen and soften your muscles in one day. It takes time, and you need to go step by step. It's not about adding yet another time commitment to your day. It's about dividing up your time more intelligently. The key to pliability is repetition and consistency. Are women more naturally pliable than men? No. The idea of pliability is to get the body's muscles to function and fire at 100% so that they can perform as well as possible the acts you're asking them to do. Whether you run 12 miles every day, play tennis, or do yoga, the inflammation rates for men and women are the same. How long does it take to turn muscles into pliable muscles? It depends on the person, their age, and on how dense their muscles are. The denser your muscles, the harder it is to make them pliable. In general, a consistent regimen will take anywhere from a week to a month. At a TB12 sports therapy center, we would expect to see significant change in two treatments. Should I wait until I get injured to start pliability? No. I understand why some athletes might believe that pliability is a post-injury thing, but you should begin doing it now to prevent injuries, or strains or tears that could lead to injury, in the future. After all, I met with Alex only when the pain in my arm and shoulder was becoming intolerable. Most of us don't want to spend time preventing things that haven't happened yet. But the foundation of pliability is that it prevents athletes from getting hurt in the first place. We have learned to strengthen. Now we need to learn to lengthen and soften in order to create balance. Why do I continue getting daily pliability? Because I want to play football for as long as possible. I love my sport. I love my teammates. I love what I do. Ever since I was a kid, my first love was always football. And to me, sustained peak performance means doing what I want to do and what I love to do for as long as I can. Two FAQs on pliability versus flexibility and stretching. What's the difference between pliability and flexibility? Couldn't I get the same effects of pliability from stretching? It's easy to think that people who've been stretching for the past 20 years would be pliable. That is not necessarily true. Stretching promotes flexibility, but you can't equate flexibility with pliability. There are a few important differences. Pliability is all about lengthening and softening the muscles. Flexibility, which often comes as a result of stretching, may lengthen the muscles to some degree, but it doesn't soften them. Lengthening and softening the muscles relieves tension on them. Stretching doesn't. Second, pliability training always involves and requires some level of proactive positive trauma to stimulate the muscle and train the brain to contract and relax the muscle in its fullest state. Throughout our pliability work at TB12, we focus on the brain-body connection. Stretching doesn't do that. Another issue is that people who are extremely flexible can stretch their ligaments to the point where their ligaments become too loose. This makes it hard for their muscles to contract back to an optimal state. In some cases, it can increase the risk of injury. Whenever people stretch out their back or their legs, they risk creating micro tears in the fibers of those muscles, like ropes that have been pulled too tight and begun to fray. To heal micro tears, the body sends in lactic acid, which hardens and scars the muscles. In response, what do most people do? They stretch their muscles all over again. Over time, this cycle of stretching, tearing, and re-stretching can lead to injury. This is why stretching is an activity that would actually benefit from pre- and post-pliability training. Doing pliability before and after stretching, as you would with any sports activity, can help minimize the amount of muscle tissue micro-tearing and muscle scarring that could result in injury. You don't get points for sticking your foot behind your neck. Think of pliability as the pre- and post-routine to any physical activity or sport, up to and including yoga. Can I do pliability on my own? Yes, but here's a disclaimer. Without a doubt, the highest form of pliability comes through targeted deep force muscle work provided by a TB12 certified body coach. Achieving optimal pliability isn't altogether possible without the treatments of a body coach trained in those methods. But you can achieve limited amounts of pliability and experience some of its benefits by using other methods, which I'll go into in the next chapter. These include self-pliability with assisted devices, self-pliability unassisted, and partner pliability. But the highest form of pliability will always come from a certified TB12 body coach, and that's what I would recommend. Chapter 5, Training and Methods. For the past dozen years, as I've said, I've been fortunate enough to work with Alex, who's allowed me to experience pliability at the highest levels. Just as some athletes use coaches for golf or tennis, a body coach is responsible for figuring out how every muscle in your body works, in isolation and with other muscle groups, and bringing your body's strengths and deficiencies into balance. I certainly realize that outside professional sports, most people don't have the luxury of a body coach, but there are many ways to incorporate pliability into your strength and conditioning regimen that come close to replicating the benefits I get from Alex's targeted deep force muscle work. These range from partner pliability to self-pliability using assisted devices, such as vibrating foam rollers and vibrating spheres, to unassisted self-pliability. In each case, the key is to do pliability both before and after exercise. Whatever form your pliability takes, all methods can fit together. I believe that any method of incorporating optimal pliability into your strength and conditioning regimen will help transform your health, performance, and longevity. The more pliability and the more balance, the better. However, I want to make it very clear that the best method of achieving optimal pliability is through a certified TB12 body coach. Self-pliability using assisted devices, vibrating foam rollers, and vibrating spheres. Outside of working with a TB12 body coach, to my mind, one of the more useful devices out there for creating and maintaining limited pliability on certain muscles is a vibrating foam roller. Foam rollers target the body's trigger points, as well as larger muscle groups. Trigger points are small patches of tightly contracted tissue that can keep our muscles from getting the blood circulation they need. The regular use of a vibrating foam roller can help muscles recover and revert to more natural states of pliability, but only to a certain degree. The thing is, foam rollers by themselves don't create optimal pliability. Pliability is as much about neurostimulating our brains as it is about lengthening and softening our muscles. Again, the brain-body connection. And to do that, you need some kind of vibrating function. At the TB12 Center, we exclusively use a high-intensity vibrating foam roller. When it's used as part of a comprehensive strength, conditioning, and pliability regimen, the roller we use has been clinically proven to improve users' range of motion by 40% over traditional rollers. Our goal is to get people to experience a degree of pliability if they can't make it to a TB12 sports therapy center. But optimal pliability requires a certified TB12 body coach. Along with the vibrating foam roller, we also use a vibrating sphere. Before and after workouts, some athletes use a lacrosse or squash ball to stimulate their muscles. But again, unless the ball has a vibrating function, it won't activate the nervous system and therefore won't lead to any pliability. By contrast, both the vibrating foam roller and the vibrating sphere affect the nervous system. When you use one or the other, your brain learns new patterns and habits as your muscles are contracting and relaxing. Remember always that our brains and bodies learn through trauma. The nerves in our muscles are in constant communication with our spinal cord, which is the seat of our nervous system. The spinal cord and brain take in and process the information that comes from our muscles and send that information right back out again to those muscles, this ongoing cycle of exchange, keeps our pliable muscles firing evenly, at 100%. Choosing between a vibrating foam roller or a vibrating sphere. Are a vibrating foam roller and a vibrating sphere interchangeable? For many muscle groups, the answer is yes. But if you're doing pliability on your legs, for example, the stability of the roller can be better. For muscles or body areas that are harder to reach, like the neck, arms, or back, a vibrating sphere can work better. And you can also use the sphere against a wall. The sphere is also more compact and easier to transport in a suitcase if you travel. But more important than whether you choose the vibrating roller or the vibrating sphere, or both, is the fact that you're getting started with degrees of pliability and the ways it can help improve your performance. Self-pliability with assisted devices. In the section ahead, I'll be showing you 18 muscle groups you can target using self-pliability with assisted devices. A full-body pliability session should take about 20 minutes. Once you experience a difference in the muscle you're working on, and it feels softer than it did when you started, move on to the next muscle. In some cases, if you're doing pliability and you feel like your hip flexors or your arms are especially tight, focus most of your effort and attention on those muscles. If you're using a roller with multiple speeds, begin with the lowest speed and work your way up to higher speeds once you get comfortable with the vibration. If the highest speed feels too intense, that's an indication you should drop down a speed or two. Ahead, I go through the best ways to work with the vibrating foam roller and sphere. Again, achieving pliability with assisted devices takes time. You'll begin to feel a difference after 2 weeks, and a more noticeable difference after about a month. Please refer to the accompanying PDF for visual references for the following exercises. Lower body. Bottom of the foot. Plantar fascia. What it is. The plantar fascia is a dense tissue band that runs across the bottom of your foot and connects your heel bone to your toes. Reason for pliability. It all starts with your feet. Runners, walkers, and people with flat feet are at higher risk for developing issues with the plantar fascia, ranging from foot pain to problems with their Achilles tendons. If the bottoms of your feet aren't pliable, you'll have less range of motion with your toes, which can lead to reduced motion in your ankles, which in turn places more load on your calves. 1. Flex your left foot and position it on top of the foam roller. 2. Make sure to keep your weight on your standing leg and foot without hyperextension. 3. Maintaining this same stance, curl your toes inward as you roll the roller toward your toes, then extend your toes as you roll the roller backward toward your heel. Then, switch to the other foot. Calf. Gastrocnemius and soleus. What it is. The gastrocnemius and soleus muscle group is made up of two separate muscles and is more commonly known as the calf muscles. Reason for pliability. We use our calf muscles to walk, run, stand on our toes, and more. The more weight we put on them, especially if we're over 40, the tighter they can become. Note. When foam rolling your calf muscles, make sure you maintain full knee extension and roll from the heel, where the Achilles attaches, all the way up past the knee, making sure you hit both the side and the middle of the calf. Consider bending your knee to penetrate all sides of the calf muscles more deeply. 1. Sitting on the floor, place your left calf on the foam roller, with your right leg slightly aloft and your hands behind you. 2. Bracing yourself on both palms, Roll your calf forward onto the roller, beginning with your heel, as you rhythmically contract and relax the muscle. 3. As you target your soleus, cross your right ankle over your left to achieve maximum pliability. Repeat for the other leg. Front of leg. Anterior tibial. What it is. The anterior tibial, anterior tib for short, is a long slender muscle located in the front of your lower leg that leads down to your ankle and foot. Reason for pliability. When the anterior tib tightens, it can lead to shin pain, imbalances, poor biomechanics, and a decreased ability to support weight, which in turn makes you more susceptible to injury. 1. Maintaining a crouching frog position, with straight arms and both hands placed in front of you, position both your ankles on top of the foam roller. 2. Still bracing your weight on your arms and hands, and using your right leg as a launcher, begin rolling back and forth on your left shin. 3. Target your anterior tib muscle more deeply by angling your shin against the roller, following the same directions previously stated. Repeat on the other side. Front thigh muscles. Quadriceps femoris. What it is. The quadriceps is a group of muscles situated in the front of your thigh. Reason for pliability. Quads that aren't pliable can lead to poor biomechanics and increased stress on surrounding muscles, leading to decreased athletic performance. Note: when foam rolling your quadriceps, make sure you roll the entire length of your muscles. Starting from the top of the knee, roll all the way up to the top of the hip bone. It's also important to get the inside, middle, and outside aspects of your upper leg, making sure you hit all four of the major muscles that make up the front thigh muscles. To add more neural input and lengthen and soften even more, flex your knee as you trace up the length of the muscles. 1. Begin in a modified plank position with your elbows under your shoulders and the foam roller positioned an inch above your knee bone. 2. Roll up and down your quad, allowing the foam roller to move toward your upper thigh. 3. As you move the foam roller up and down, rhythmically contract and relax your quad muscles. Repeat on the other side. Inner thigh slash groin. Adductors. What it is. The adductor muscle group, otherwise known as the inner thigh or groin, helps us control and stabilize our legs and feet. Reason for pliability. Reduced pliability can lead to tight, dense, stiff movement, leading to poor biomechanics, increased strain on surrounding joints and muscles, and decreased athletic performance. Note: when foam rolling your inner thigh, roll down your inside upper leg to the inside part of your knee. To increase neural feedback as you lengthen and soften your muscles, extend your knee as you roll up the length of your inner thigh. 1. Begin again in a modified plank position, resting on your elbows with your hands clasped. 2. Angle your upper left leg so the interior is flush against the foam roller. 3. Keeping your knee extended, move the foam roller up and down your adductor muscle as you rhythmically contract and relax it. Repeat on the other leg. Back of the thigh, hamstrings. What it is. The hamstring muscle group includes three back thigh muscles. We use our hamstrings when we walk, run, turn our hips, and bend our knees. Reason for pliability. Non-pliable hamstrings can lead to poor biomechanics and poor posture, which in turn decrease athletic performance and increase the risk of injury. Note: when rolling your hamstrings, make sure to roll the entire length of the muscles from below your knee on both the inside and the outside of your shin bone. Include both your inside and your outside back thigh muscles in your rolling routine. 1. With both arms behind you and your hands on the floor, begin by placing the foam roller right below where the underside of your left knee meets your thigh muscle. 2. Bracing yourself on your hands, roll forward on the foam roller as you rhythmically contract and relax your hamstring muscles. 3. To achieve deeper pliability, cross your right foot over your left as you're rolling. Repeat on the other side. Outer thigh, IT band and TFL. What it is. The IT band and TFL are muscles that help our pelvis maintain balance when we stand, walk, or run. Reason for pliability. Without pliability, other muscles will experience increased burden, potentially leading to groin pain. Note: when rolling out the IT band and the TFL, roll from the knee joint to the top of the hip. You may want to use the vibrating sphere, which allows for more direct contact with your TFL. Using the vibrating sphere against a wall is a good way to control how much pressure you place on your muscle. 1. Lie on your right side, bracing your weight on your right elbow with the foam roller positioned an inch or so below the knee joint. 2. Roll upward to the top of the hip and then back down again to below the knee joint. 3. As you roll, extend both arms to maintain your balance. Repeat on the other side. Torso. Posterior. Glutes and piriformis. What it is. The gluteus, aka glutes, and piriformis muscles make up our backsides. The glutes are especially important in generating power and explosiveness in athletic performance. Reason for pliability. Decreased pliability makes you more prone to strain and injury, leading to poor biomechanics, increased stress on joints and soft tissue, decreased athletic performance, and higher risk of non-contact injuries. Note: when rolling out your backside, sit in such a way that your outer hip makes contact with the roller. As you begin to roll, extend your hip so that you deepen the contact between the roller and your hip's external rotator. Next, cross your leg over your knee to target an even deeper area of the muscle. Here, the vibrating sphere is a great tool for hip pliability, as it allows you to get deeper into the muscle. 1. With your arms behind you, brace your weight on both hands, with the foam roller positioned directly under your buttocks. 2. Make sure that your outer hip is in direct contact with the roller, and extend it as you begin rolling. 3. Target the glutes and piriformis more deeply by crossing your left knee over your right knee. Repeat on the other side. Low back. Quadratus lumborum. What it is. The quadratus lumborum is situated in the lower part of your back on either side of your spine, within the abdominal cavity. 1. With both knees bent and positioned in front of you, place the roller on the lower left part of your back, beneath your rib cage. 2. Place your weight on your elbow as you begin rolling up and down your lower left spine. 3. Press deeply into the roller, angling and adjusting your lower left back to target tender spots. Repeat on the other side. Mid to upper back. Paraspinal, erector spinae muscles. What it is. The large paraspinal muscles are a group of muscles on either side of the spine and are generally referred to as the mid to upper back. From a functional standpoint, the paraspinals help to stabilize the spine so it can perform its normal curvatures. Reason for pliability. Decreased pliability in the paraspinals may lead to poor biomechanics, imbalances, and even scoliosis. This can lead to increased stress on other joints, muscles, and/or vertebral discs, leading in turn to lower back pain, disc injuries, and increased stress on the knees and ankles. Note: when foam rolling your mid to upper back, make sure you trace the entire length of the muscles. Start at the base of the tailbone and slowly work your way up through the mid-back to the top of the shoulder. Adjust your body as needed to get even deeper into the muscle. It's a good idea to work through the range of motion slowly in order to find trigger points or other specific tight spots. 1. Lie on your back with both legs extended. With your knees bent and your arms crossed, position the foam roller on the base of your tailbone. 2. Bending both knees, roll forward, making sure the foam roller progresses to the top of the shoulder and back down again. Instead of rolling directly along your spine, angle your body so the roller targets both sides of your spine. Chest muscle, pectoralis major. What it is. The pectoralis major muscle is situated in the front chest and makes up the most dominant chest muscle. Note: when foam rolling your chest, there are two techniques. The first is to place the roller or sphere against a wall and roll against the chest muscles by moving your torso side to side and up and down. As with some other muscle groups, moving through the muscle slowly and forcefully allows you to find tight spots. To create the deepest possible contact with your muscle, place the roller on the ground and use your body weight to hit all the tender spots within that muscle. 1. Lie face down with your left arm on the floor and the foam roller positioned between your elbow and your right shoulder. 2. Your weight should rest on your body, not on your arm. 3. Using your left arm as a brace, move your torso side to side and up and down atop the roller, targeting your front chest muscles. Repeat on the other side. In between shoulder blades. What it is. The rhomboids are rhomboid-shaped muscles in between our shoulder blades that are vital in throwing and in any overhead arm motion. Reason for pliability. Decreased pliability in this area can lead to stress on the shoulder and neck and cause asymmetries in the arm and back. Note: when using the foam roller between your shoulder blades, consider adjusting your arms in a variety of positions. This allows access to certain muscles while changing their length. For example, crossing your arms or raising your arms overhead while rolling allows better access to your muscles while extending the length of the muscle. You can then rotate your trunk to find tender points within those muscles. 1. Lie on your back, bend your knees, and cross your arms so that your hands are gripping the opposite shoulder. 2. With the foam roller positioned beneath your left shoulder blade, begin rolling up and down. 3. Adjust your upper trunk to target your muscles more deeply. Repeat on the other side. Rhomboids and levator scapulae. What it is. The levator scapulae is a muscle located at the back and side of the neck, whose main function is to lift the shoulder blades. 1. Still lying on your back with your knees bent, position the foam roller under your left shoulder blade. 2. With your hips elevated 6 inches above the floor, roll from your shoulder blades up toward your neck. 3. Cross your arms tightly to access the muscle deeply. Repeat on the other side. Shoulder muscles, deltoids, front, middle, back. What it is? The deltoid muscles are located on the upper area of the shoulder and are attached by tendons to the shoulder and upper arm bone. Note: when foam rolling your deltoids, you can choose between two different approaches. In this case, the vibrating sphere is the optimal tool for this muscle group, as the smaller, more direct surface of the sphere will allow you to get deeper into the muscle. Place the sphere or the roller against the wall and use your body weight to access the closest possible contact with the muscle. Optimally, you might try a variety of positions to locate trigger points within the muscle. For an even more active release, reach across your body while rolling to get deeper into the muscle. 1. Position the vibrating sphere against a wall, leaning into it to achieve maximum depth. 2. Begin rolling back and forth between your upper arm and the top of your shoulder. 3. Angle and adjust your stance, and even raise your arm, to target tender points within your deltoid. Repeat on the other side. Note: the advantage of using the vibrating sphere is that it can access smaller, harder-to-reach points within any muscle group. In this case, as you roll out your shoulder muscle, let the sphere target points of tightness or weakness from the top of your shoulder to below your armpit. 1. Position the vibrating sphere against a wall and press into it to access the muscle. 2. Roll back and forth between your upper arm and the top of your shoulder. 3. Angle and adjust your stance and raise your arm to target the deltoid's sensitive points. Repeat on the other side. Back of shoulder, posterior rotator cuff. What it is? The posterior rotator cuff is a group of muscles and tendons that stabilize your shoulder joint. It's critical for any and all shoulder movements, including, in my job, throwing a football. 1. Lie on your back with your knees bent and raised, and position the foam roller between the underside of your upper right arm and your shoulder. 2. Using your knees to elevate your body and lift your hips off the floor, move your body up and down atop the roller. 3. Contract and relax your arm and shoulder muscles to access tender points. Repeat on the left side. Back shoulder muscles, latissimus dorsi and teres major. What it is? The latissimus dorsi is a wide flat muscle that runs through the back and armpits and connects to the upper arm. We use our lats when we're doing pull-ups, chin-ups, or extending or swinging our arms. The latissimus dorsi and teres major attach to the humerus and are responsible for inward and backward movement of the torso and arms. Note: when foam rolling your back shoulder muscles, trace all the way up from your side, from your lower side to your armpits. Continuously flexing and rotating your shoulder will help lengthen the muscle as much as possible. Using the roller against the wall can be an easy, efficient way to locate tender spots within the posterior shoulder. 1. Assuming the same position as the previous exercise, position the foam roller underneath your armpit. 2. Angling your knees together and to one side, roll from the armpit all the way down your lower back. 3. By moving, adjusting, and flexing your shoulder, you can lengthen and soften your muscles even more deeply. Repeat on the other side. Between your shoulder and neck, upper trapezius. What it is? The upper trapezius muscle extends from the upper regions of the back on the posterior side of the neck and trunk. Its functions include elevating, rotating, and stabilizing our shoulder blades and supporting our arms. 1. Position yourself next to a wall, with the vibrating sphere pressed against your right upper back. 2. Use your upper back to roll the sphere up and down and side to side. 3. Lean in deeply to target the muscles between your armpit and your upper shoulder. Repeat on the other side. Inside of your forearm. Forearm flexors. What it is. The forearm flexors are a group of 5 muscles that are wrist and finger flexors of the forearm. They allow us to move our wrists toward or away from our body. Both tennis elbow and golfer's elbow are signs you need to focus on forearm pliability. 1. With your knees bent, lean forward and place your left wrist on top of the foam roller. Your hand should be facing down. 2. Leaning back onto your hips, roll your wrist forward atop the roller, targeting the entire forearm. 3. If necessary, use the right arm to steady the left. Repeat on the other side. Outer forearm. Forearm extensors. What it is. The forearm extensors comprise more than half a dozen muscles on the back of the forearm that allow us to extend our wrists and fingers. 1. In the same position as the previous exercise, place your left wrist on top of the foam roller, this time with the hand facing up. 2. Leaning back onto your hips and using your right arm to steady the left, roll from your wrist to your elbow joint. 3. As you roll out your forearm extensors, rhythmically contract and relax your outer forearm muscles. Repeat with your right outer forearm. Self-pliability, unassisted. Sometimes during the off-season, when I don't have the benefit of working with Alex, I found ways to do self-pliability. The advantage of self-pliability is that you can lengthen and soften at least some of your muscles anywhere you are, both pre- and post-workout. The obvious disadvantage is that self-pliability limits the parts of the body you can reach. It can also be tiring. Still, if you're committed to it, unassisted self-pliability is a great thing to be able to do. But you need to start slowly, staying relaxed in your upper body as you stroke through the muscle. I do self-pliability on 7 muscle groups: my anterior tib, calves, quadriceps, hamstrings, forearm, biceps, and triceps. And in the section ahead, I'll show you the method I use on 3 of those muscles. Advice to the gym goer. I don't play a particular sport. How much pliability do I need? Whether you're 18 years old or 80, the same principles of pliability apply to everyone. If you're not an everyday athlete but you go to the gym to work out, I recommend you do pliability both before you go and as soon as you finish your workout. I would target hamstrings, calves, quads, IT bands, and glutes. The entire self-pliability session should last around 20 minutes. Even if you don't go to the gym, what are your daily acts of living? Do you stand and sit a lot? Climb stairs, carry bags, work in the garden? No matter what your level of activity is, you'll still be contracting your muscles, and without lengthening and softening your muscles through pliability, they will become tight, dense, and stiff. Over time, they will lose full muscle pump function and the ability to rejuvenate and regenerate, which in the end decreases overall health and vitality. Please refer to the accompanying PDF for visual references for the following exercises. Self-pliability. calves. In my job, I'm always on my feet, running and shuffling in the pocket. That's why, when I don't have the benefit of Alex, I maintain a lot of pliability in my calves. You should determine where you need pliability based on your daily acts of living. Apply a non-sticky lotion to your calf. I recommend lotion for all our self-pliability treatments. In a seated position, bend your knee in front of you. Using both hands, grab your leg just above your ankle. With both thumbs pressing down on your ankle bone, stroke through your calf muscle toward the heart for 20 seconds. At the same time, rhythmically point and flex your foot. Repeat on the other side. Self-pliability, triceps. Obviously, I need to maintain pliability in my arms, especially my right arm. Raise your right forearm and grasp your biceps, just above the elbow joint. Press your thumb against the underside of your elbow. Firmly stroke through your triceps muscle with the thumb of your left hand as you rhythmically contract and relax the muscle. Repeat on the other side. Self-pliability, inside of your forearm. My forearm used to give me a lot of trouble. That's why I developed tendinitis before I met Alex. As I do self-pliability, notice that my left thumb applies pressure as I stroke up the muscle with my hand, always toward my heart. With the underside of your right arm facing up, grasp the forearm with the left hand. Using consistent pressure, stroke the muscle from the wrist to the elbow joint as you rhythmically contract and relax your forearm. Make sure you target the entire length of the muscle. Repeat on the other side. Self-pliability, outer forearm. More self-pliability on my right forearm, lengthening and softening always toward the heart. With the outside of your right arm facing up, grasp the forearm with the left hand. Using consistent pressure, stroke the muscle from the wrist to the elbow joint as you rhythmically contract and relax your forearm. Make sure you target the entire length of the muscle. Repeat on the other side. Partner pliability, the basics. On the rare occasions when I don't have the benefit of working with Alex, I've found ways to do partner pliability. As I've said, the highest levels of pliability come from working with one of our TB12 body coaches, who've undergone a rigorous certification program to master the TB12 method of pliability through an in-depth understanding of biomechanics, muscle physiology, and proper muscle function. We're also excited to be launching a new training and certification program that we'll be rolling out soon to create a network of world-class TB12 certified body coaches across the country. In the meantime, the methods ahead can offer some of the benefits of in-person targeted deep force muscle work. While your partner may not be able to replicate the targeted deep force muscle work I get working with Alex, or the same degree of force he exerts to create optimal muscle pump function, he or she can still lengthen, soften, and prime muscles no matter where you are, both before and after a workout or activity. By now, you know the technique. Using a consistent but tolerable force, your partner lengthens and softens the muscle, always stroking in the direction of the heart. I repeat, always in the direction of the heart. Meanwhile, the person who's getting pliability contracts and relaxes that muscle rhythmically, up and down or back and forth, for around 20 seconds. Many muscle groups are optimally done only with the assistance of a certified TB12 body coach. But coming up are a half dozen techniques that you and a partner can perform together safely. 1. If you're wearing shorts, before starting, I recommend applying a non-sticky lotion to the muscle you're targeting. You're going to need to be right up against the skin. I use coconut oil, but you should use anything you have on hand. 2. Always stroke upward as you lengthen and soften your partner's muscles, toward the heart to facilitate optimal blood circulation. 3. Try to target all sides of the muscle, including the inside, middle, and outside. 4. Pliability is active, never passive. As you lengthen and soften a muscle, the person receiving pliability contracts and relaxes that muscle rhythmically about 2 times per second. However, speeds will vary based on the ability and pliability of the person who's getting the treatment. 5. Unless otherwise noted, partner pliability should be done in a relaxed, prone position. If you have a massage table at home, great. If not, you can do partner pliability on a bed or any flat surface in order to give the person giving pliability the proper leverage. 6. Begin with the lower limbs, then move up to the torso and the upper limbs. 7. Pliability should be done on all the muscles in your body for around 20 seconds. However, if an area of the body is more sore or is giving you trouble, continue with the treatment until the muscle starts to lengthen and soften. 8. The most challenging part of partner pliability is that the person giving pliability is stroking through the muscle in an upward direction, toward the heart, at the same time the person getting pliability is contracting and relaxing the muscle rhythmically, sometimes up, sometimes down. With practice, this will become automatic. The goal is to lengthen and soften through the stroke. Please refer to the accompanying PDF for visual references for the following exercises. Bottom of the foot. Plantar fascia. 1. The person receiving pliability is in a comfortable seated position, legs and feet extended, as the person giving pliability presses both thumbs against the heel. 2. The person giving pliability strokes through the plantar fascia slowly and forcefully, always in the direction of the heart. 3. The person receiving pliability expands and contracts the muscle rapidly and simultaneously. Repeat on the other side. Calf. Gastrocnemius and soleus. 1. The person receiving pliability lies face down as the person giving pliability grasps the ankle. 2. Using one or both thumbs, the person giving pliability strokes upward through the muscle toward the heart. 3. As the person receives pliability, he or she rhythmically contracts and relaxes the calf muscle. Repeat on the other side. Front of leg. Anterior tibial. 1. The person receiving pliability sits with his or her left leg extended, as the person giving pliability grasps the calf just above the ankle bone. 2. The person giving pliability strokes upward through the anterior tib muscle toward the heart. 3. As the person receives pliability, he or she rhythmically contracts and relaxes the anterior tib. Repeat on the other side. Back of the thigh, hamstrings. 1. The person receiving pliability lies face down with his or her right leg extended. The person giving pliability places both hands just above the underside of the knee joint. 2. The person giving pliability begins stroking upward using both thumbs. 3. As the person receives pliability, he or she rhythmically contracts and relaxes the hamstring muscles. Repeat on the other side. Forearms. 1. The person getting pliability extends the left arm as the person giving pliability presses his or her thumb against the wrist. 2. Using maximum pressure, the person giving pliability strokes through the muscle all the way up to the elbow. 3. As the person receives pliability, he or she rhythmically contracts and relaxes the forearm. Repeat on the other side. Back of shoulder. Posterior rotator cuff. 1. The person receiving pliability is in a comfortable seated position. The person giving pliability places both thumbs on the shoulder blade. 2. The person giving pliability strokes through the muscle toward the heart. 3. As the person receives pliability, he or she rhythmically contracts and relaxes the upper arm. Repeat on the other side. Chapter 6. Workouts. From college and on through to the pros, I used to follow the traditional method of working out. Everything was weight-based. 20 minutes to warm up and raise my heart rate, followed by 45 minutes to an hour lifting weights, then more cardio to finish. Twice a week, on Mondays and Thursdays, I worked my upper body. Tuesdays and Fridays were devoted to my lower body, whether it was dumbbell squats or single or double leg presses, 3 or 4 sets apiece. In between, there was core work, crunch sit-ups or rollouts, and back work. There's no doubt that lifting weights builds denser, thicker muscles and makes athletes stronger, and my strength numbers showed it too. Fact is, you'll get better at anything in life in which you invest time and energy, whether it's lifting weights, jumping rope, scuba diving, or running marathons. Still, most of the time my workouts left me hurting. Sure, I was getting stronger, but I was a long way away from allocating the right proportion of my workout time to what could allow me to sustain success longer, namely pliability and its amplifiers. The goal of traditional weight training is to create maximum strength, which is different from optimal strength. Maximum strength refers to the most/longest model, which I talked about earlier, doing more reps of more weights, whereas optimal strength is the strength that you need to carry out the job you have to do. The goal of pliability is optimal strength. Once I discovered pliability, I began incorporating different tools and techniques into my workout, including resistance bands. Weights versus resistance bands. I'm not opposed to weight training, but at TB12, around 90% of what we do, and I do, involves working out with resistance bands. A lot of athletes show up at the TB12 center with a fixed idea about how resistance bands work, and some even associate them with rehab. Many are surprised to find that resistance bands work their bodies functionally better than weights do, in terms of resistance, versatility, and maximizing efficiency. Bands allow for a big, fluid range of motion. They help build strength and power while keeping your muscles longer and making them less dense than they would be if you used heavy weights. Bands can also help limit inflammation and overload. They condition you aerobically while complementing your pliability. By targeting accelerating and decelerating muscle groups at the same time, without overload, they also mirror your body's normal everyday functional movements. Together with pliability, they create a balanced approach to staying healthy over a long period of time. Weights aren't harmful by themselves. What is harmful is how most people use weights. Imagine your body as a pickup truck. It's weighed down with 1,000 pounds of bricks in its cargo bed. This is what weightlifting does to your muscles, ligaments, and joints. Now imagine your body as a pickup truck that's towing 1,000 pounds of bricks behind it. There's minimal weight on your structure. This difference between load and resistance is the difference between what weights and bands do to our bodies. Sometimes we see older people working out with bands or doing water aerobics or Tai Chi. It turns out that they know something the rest of us don't. So what sense does it make to place excess load on your joints when you're young and healthy either. After a lifetime of lifting weights, for the past 7 years, I've used resistance